Hi, you're listening to the Calvary Christian Church Weekly Sermon. We have services at 8:30, 10:30, 12:30, and 5 p.m. every Sunday. For more information, visit our website at calvarychristian.church.
Oh, how we adore him tonight. Jesus is the hope of Christmas. As Matthew 12:21 says, in his name, the nations will put their hope. God bless you. You may be seated. As most of you know, hope has been our theme throughout the month of December here at Calvary. 3 weeks ago, our guest evangelist started us out in this season of hope with a message entitled, Hope for Troubled Hearts. 2 weeks ago, I talked about a living hope. This past Sunday, I talked about an anchoring hope. And this coming Sunday, again, online, where you're invited to come right into the Parsonage living room, I will be sharing an 18-minute message, which there's another Christmas miracle for you right there, okay? An 18-minute message on a purifying hope. But tonight I want to speak to you very briefly about a Christmas hope, or put another way, the hope of Christmas. And of course, most of us come into the Christmas season with lots of hopes. Family and friends have asked us what we would like for Christmas, so we tell them, and then we start hoping that we will get what we ask for on Christmas. And I have let my wife and my daughters know exactly, precisely what I want, and so I am anticipating those things being under the Christmas tree tomorrow. And of course, our children, they're hoping for toys and games and other fun things. But then I know that for many of us, there are other serious, more sobering and significant hopes for ourselves, for family members, and others that we love. But that's why I love Christmas time, because Christmas is a time for hope. And I want to share with you tonight 3 reasons why Christmas promises hope for you and for me. Number one, Christmas gives me hope because Christmas is a promise fulfilled in the past. Christmas is a promise fulfilled in the past. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that Jesus' coming had been predicted, had been promised by God hundreds and even thousands of years before his coming to earth. So when Jesus was born as a babe in a manger, God's Son manifested in the flesh, God was fulfilling a promise he had made repeatedly for centuries. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where man sins and brings sin into the world and just makes a mess of things. And from that very moment, God promises us a Savior, thousands of years before he would come in the flesh. And then in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the prophet actually predicts more than 700 years in advance the very location of where Jesus would be born. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Likewise, the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah are recorded for us in Isaiah 9:6. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, he writes, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." All of these prophecies, all of these promises were fulfilled on that night in Bethlehem when Christ was born. Years ago, a professor of mathematics and probability at Westmont College, along with some 600 of his university students, calculated the odds just for the one prophecy of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, for someone to prophesy that 700 years in advance and for it to happen precisely in the place predicted. The odds of that happening came in at 1 in 300,000. But they went a little bit further. They took 8 prophecies about the Christ child being fulfilled. That came in at 1 in 10 to the 17th power, or 1 in 10 with 17 zeros behind it. They weren't done yet. They went ahead and took all 456 prophecies about Christ. And what were the odds that they could or would be fulfilled? And they came in at 1 in 10 with 157 zeros behind it. What are we saying? We're saying that Christmas should fill us with hope today, because Christmas is a reminder that God keeps his word and keeps his promises regardless of what the odds may be against it. Amen. And so it is that we read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. That set time was the day Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The most important event in history for all of time is now measured before Christ was born, B.C., and after Christ was born, A.D. But Revelation 13:8 tells us this. Tells us that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the creation of the world, meaning that from the very beginning, God knew that the creation of man would cost him the life of his son. The very reason Jesus Christ came to earth was to pay the price for our sins. God's Son, God himself, manifested in the flesh, born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life so that on the cross of Calvary, he could pay the price for your sins and mine and restore for us a pathway back to fellowship with God. I think John 3:16 still says it best. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but could have eternal life. Christmas is a time that fills my heart with hope because Christmas is a promise that was fulfilled in the past. Christmas is a reminder that God keeps his promises even against the greatest of odds. And then Christmas fills my heart with hope because, number two, Christmas is a promise fulfilled in the present. Matthew 1:23 explains what I mean. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, say it with me, God with us. When we talk about Christmas, when we think about Christmas, we're reminded that God has promised to be with us right here, right now. And not just with us from a distance, looking on from heaven. No, John 1:14 tells us that God became flesh, referring to Jesus Christ, and made his dwelling among us. But it didn't stop there. Because Jesus was not only God with us, he went on to promise us that he would never leave us and that he would never forsake us. Think of that. We have someone who is always with us. Amen. Oh, you missed a chance to say amen. One got it, but let me give everyone a chance. I said, we have someone who is always with us. Amen. When Jesus ascended to heaven, back to the right hand of the Father, he promised not to leave us as orphans. But he said, our Heavenly Father, in John 14, he said, our Heavenly Father would send another Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would be with us and would be in us. So that now we have the promise that we will never, ever be alone. God is with us, and Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. So when you're afraid, call on his name. When you're hurting and in pain or despair, call on his name. When you're filled with doubts and questions that seem to have no answer, call on the name that is above every name. Call on the name of Jesus, for he is Emmanuel, God with us. Finally, Christmas fills me with hope because Christmas is a promise fulfilled in the future. Now think about this with me, loved ones. Think about it. Tomorrow we celebrate the first coming of Jesus to earth. We call it Christmas. His first coming had been promised, predicted, and prophesied. And it all came to pass just as the Bible said it would happen. But guess what else the Bible tells us is going to happen? That's right. Jesus is coming again. There is a second coming of Jesus. And we have every reason to believe that because of his first coming, because of Christmas. And so we have great hope in his second coming tonight. For listen to the promises of God's word. John 14, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, we are one. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Long before a well-known actor said, I'll be back, Jesus said, I will be back. Then in Acts 1:11, men of Galilee, the angel said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And then finally from Titus chapter 2. for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Oh, friend, hear me tonight. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. You've got a God who loves you with an everlasting love. He's been chasing you down your entire life. Had a conversation with a young man today who was a part of this church 30 years ago. And Sunday, God told him, you go to church. Hadn't been to church, as far as I know, in over 25 years. And God touched his heart and life, and now he can't stop talking about Jesus. For the grace of God, look at this, Titus 2:11, has appeared that offers salvation to all people, whoever you are. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Look at verse 13. While we wait for the blessed, hope. And what is that blessed hope? The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a first coming for Jesus 2,000 years ago. As Christ would come to be the sacrifice for our sins. And there is a second coming for Jesus at a time already predetermined by God the Father, but unknown to us. We're living in between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus. So what do we do in the meantime? Well, we put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and then endeavor to live godly lives pleasing to Him. And then we patiently wait for the blessed hope. We patiently wait for the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I close with this story. Phillips Brooks, the Episcopal minister who pastored Trinity Church right here in Boston, was actually born in Boston. After visiting the Holy Land and spending Christmas in 1868 in Bethlehem, he came home and 2 years later wrote the famous Christmas carol in 1868 entitled, O Little Town of Bethlehem. I close by sharing with you the words from the first verse. It goes like this. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. Look at this. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Can I encourage everyone listening to me this evening with these words from that Christmas carol? All your hopes are fulfilled in Jesus tonight. Whatever hopes you have for your life, your home, your family, your kids, Jesus has even better hopes. Jesus has even more wonderful hopes for your lives. All your hopes can be fulfilled in Jesus tonight, and all your fears can be met. In other words, can be alleviated, can be eliminated by Jesus tonight. If you will simply put your trust, your heart, your life into His hands. For Jesus is the hope of Christmas. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me? Father God, how we thank you again for Jesus. Jesus, you give us hope in ways that no one else can. You give us hope in ways that nothing else can. And tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would minister hope, that you would minister encouragement to every man, every woman, every young person, every child listening, that they would know that in you they can have hope. For Jesus, you have hopes and plans for each and every one of us. Lord, thank you for chasing down that young man who 30 years ago had a relationship with you and has come home like a prodigal son, returned to you. Oh God, do it again and again tonight. And Lord, for that one who might be here tonight who is struggling with fear or without hope, God, may they find hope in you and in the promises of your word. Now bless these moments, Lord Jesus, as we prepare our hearts for communion. Thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to give your life on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sins. But the story didn't end there, Jesus. You rose again from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and Jesus, you promised you're coming back. You're coming back for us again. And so tonight, as we partake of these elements, we do so not only remembering your life and your death and your resurrection, but remembering the promise of your return. In Jesus' name, we pray.